is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we're Spy Fat Chicks. And this week's episode is all about cereal. Sorry for the repeat of the breakfast episode, but we had to get some stuff together.
And we figured since it's so hard to find episodes on iTunes anyway, since we don't know what is wrong with Podbean and iTunes and why they don't talk to each other, they're like a married couple, but it just isn't reading beyond the last 20, 25, 30 episodes. So periodically we will probably rebroadcast, quote-unquote rebroadcast.
Right.
We'll do a repeat episode just for people who maybe have just joined in the past 10 or 15 episodes and kind of want to hear some of the older stuff and they don't want to go to podbean.com to download it. So we'll toss some of that stuff up. But breakfast cereal.
Sheila's every little kid's favorite thing.
Every Sheila's favorite thing.
Well, yeah. Every slacker's favorite thing.
Yes. Sheila has an addiction for junk cereal, and I don't. So kind of the whole point of this episode was to see if the stuff we had as kids, our favorites, whether or not they were as sugary and awesome as we thought they were, or if they're just too cloyingly sweet now. We were kind of surprised.
Yeah. Well, I've kind of been eating junk cereal still throughout my adult life, but you haven't really for a number of years, so.
Well, I still eat the Reese's Peanut Butter Crunch one, but I eat that more of like a snack. I'll eat it like people eat chips. I'll sit down with a bowl of it dry and just eat that. I won't eat it with cereal, or with cereal. Yes, I mix it with my Frosted Flakes. I don't eat it with milk in the morning with bananas on it or anything like that. So, whereas you'll have cereal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner left to your own devices sometimes.
Because it's fast and easy.
Yes, it is.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
So, we picked up one of the little variety packs by Kellogg's that has Corn Pops, Frosted Flakes, Fruit Loops, Rice Krispies in it. And then we also got a box of Captain Crunch, because that's Sheila's second favorite cereal. Besides the Reese Cup, which is a newcomer to the cereal scene. That didn't come out until the late 90s, or mid-90s, because I was in high school or college when it came out. Mom got a free sample of it in the mail. It was awesome. I'm like, this stuff's great, you should buy it! And she's looking at the stuff, the information on it. She's like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, the size of the boxes weren't very big, and it was expensive.
Yeah, and it was full of horrible, horrible badness, because my mother actually looked at that type of stuff sometimes. And then we got a box of healthy cereal, because that was my choice. I'm sorry. I suck.
Yeah.
We got the crunchy cranberry almond cereal by President's Choice, which is just like all the healthy nut fruit and nut cereals that are out there. Which you said you wanted to talk about the freeze-dried fruits, even though these are more like raisins.
Right. Well, it seemed like, is it Special K that you think that pioneered that?
I think so.
That the freeze-dried strawberries that are sliced up thin and thrown into the mix.
They're so good.
Because that came in
90s again.
Yeah. Say late 90s?
Mm-hmm. In the late 90s when the health craze was starting to kind of kick off. And I remember the only time you got freeze-dried fruit other than that was if you went to a museum, like a space and science museum.
And you get the astronaut food.
Yeah, because they had the astronaut strawberries, which were just a little package of freeze-dried, like four freeze-dried strawberries for $5.99 or something. So when the Special K came out the first time I had that, I'm like, oh my god, it's astronaut cereal! I felt like I should have a big glass of Tang with it.
I wonder if there was a secret store of liquid nitrogen that was found somewhere, because you seem to be seeing a lot of food companies and food personalities using it.
I don't know.
Because that seems to be, like, the latest thing.
Yeah, because Alton Brown does the thing with the ice cream. Yeah. Using liquid nitrogen, and we've seen it on a couple other shows. I don't know if it's that, or if it dropped in price, or if people just realize it's not as scary as it used to be, and it's really easy to work with. And it had a bad rap before as being, like,
because someone probably put their hand in it or something.
Yeah, you know, or put somebody's head in it or whatever. Ugh.
Yeah, that's pretty gross. Yeah. Anyways.
So, liquid nitrogen can make your cereal better. But anyway, even the freeze-drying stuff, you'll see more and more cereals with the freeze-dried fruit in them now, and they're pretty darn tasty, too.
Yeah.
But the junk cereal. So we had our control cereal of the crunchy cranberry almond, which we had a bowl of that, and then we had a couple of the samplings of the horrible, sugary, rot-your-teeth-out cereal.
Well, that's the thing, is because I've been eating it since, you know, forever. I never really stopped eating junk cereal. I figured that you'd eat it and you'd be like, oh, it's all cloyingly sweet. Oh, it's hurting my teeth. Oh, you're such a bad person for eating such sugary cereal. But you said it wasn't that bad.
No. Well, we had a bowl of Captain Crunch last night, which I haven't had a bowl of Captain Crunch since I was probably 8. And even growing up, Mom didn't buy much junk cereal for me. Mm-hmm. I got Cheerios. I loved Cheerios. I had the Cheerios bowl that you ordered after eating like 10 bowls of Cheerios. And then I had the special Cheerios spoon that actually had my name on the handle because they engrave it. And that was like another 10 or 20 box tops or something. I ate that many Cheerios. So, and I always put a bunch of sugar on top, but still. So I was like a Cheerios kid, loved it to death. Every once in a while, Mom would get something else as a treat. It usually happened to be on the days when she had coupons and it was on sale. So it was like really super cheap because my mother was the coupon queen.
Mm-hmm.
She had a shoebox with little tabs in it and it was all organized and beautiful, and she would go in with her little pile of coupons and look for the sales, and Mom missed her true calling as a government official somewhere in, like, you know, the Treasury Department.
Right.
So, I remember having Captain Crunch once in a great while. Cookie Crisp was one we had pretty frequently, which is a sore point for you because you couldn't get it in Canada.
We used to get all the commercials for all these American cereals, but we only really had a limited selection of the junk cereals, right?
Yeah.
Because we kept getting the commercials for Cookie Crisp, but we didn't have it up here. And we kept getting commercials for, like, Boo Berry. Didn't have it. And I think Frankenberry, too. Because we had Count Chocula.
Frankenberry and Boo Berry were pretty horrible. Count Chocula wasn't bad. Yeah. I had those, like, very infrequently as a kid.
Just like Cocoa Puffs with marshmallows in them, I guess.
Yeah.
Or, like, chocolate Lucky Charms.
Yeah. That was one I had infrequently as a kid, Lucky Charms. I was a sucker for the marshmallow cereal, too.
Yeah. Marshmallow cereals rock.
And now you can buy just the bags of marshmallows. There was a article on Geekology, we'll have to link it up when we do the podcast, we'll put it up. It's just the marshmallows, because you don't have enough sugar in your diet in the morning, just have more marshmallows.
Big bowl of marshmallows.
Yes. But they're not like regular marshmallows, because I don't like regular marshmallow that much, but they're like crunchy.
I think because they're freeze-dried, aren't they?
I think so, too. But they're delicious, and I would eat a whole bag of them, and then feel really bad later, but not for breakfast. I'd eat it for, like, dinner. So, back to
not the most important meal of the day.
No,
just the second most important.
They're the most important snack of the day. So Captain Crunch hadn't had it. Excuse me, Cap'n Crunch. I feel like I'm mispronouncing it because it's all shortened on the box. I hadn't had it in probably 2 decades, and I was surprised at how it wasn't horribly sugary and made me gag or anything.
And the other thing that we were surprised at was that it didn't destroy the roofs of our mouths.
Yes!
It seems like the actual cereal is smaller and finer texture, maybe thinner. Tracy's investigating now.
I went online and checked, and they didn't say anything about it having changed its formula. But I think it's smaller. Or our mouths are bigger now. I don't know.
No, because I had it as a teenager, and it still destroyed the roof of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. It's not cutting anything in my mouth.
Yeah. It's like they made it, I think they made it smaller and thinner with a finer texture on top.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember it used to be almost like a burlap, like little tiny burlap bags.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was all rough on the outside. And now it's smooth.
Yeah, even in the picture, it looks a rougher texture. They're probably using the same picture from when it came out.
The stock photo.
So, yeah, because when you look at the close-up, it looks a lot more, like, granular compared to the actual cereal. So we were surprised, because we've been making jokes with each other for the past 10 years. Ha ha ha, Captain Crunch, rip your mouth open, ha ha ha.
Right. I love Captain Crunch because I don't care about the roof of my mouth.
Now this one is, a serving size on it was 1 cup, and it only has 13 grams of sugar. So that's not bad. It's not good. You'd be better off with, like, Rice Krispies, but it's not bad.
Well, the thing is with Rice Krispies is nobody eats Rice Krispies plain. You either add a banana or you add sugar or honey or something.
Mm-hmm. I usually add a banana.
It's like, it's good because you can control the amount of sugar, but you're still going to add sugar. It's not like you're just going to eat it plain.
Mm-hmm. Which,
like the Special K diet, you know?
Yeah.
Where you eat nothing but Special K for breakfast and lunch and then eat a sensible dinner.
Which has actually been suggested by the Special K commercials for people who have not seen that before. Slightly horrifying. Live on cereal. But hey, works for college students. They're all thin and fit.
Well,
why not?
It's portion control. Because if you do the portions, you're only having, like, a 300-calorie breakfast, 300-calorie lunch,
mm-hmm.
and then you can have, like, a 1,000-calorie dinner and be on target if you're a woman.
Yeah, well, you could totally do, like, a Chicken McNugget diet and have Chicken McNuggets for breakfast and lunch and then have a healthy dinner, and you'd probably not die, so.
As long as you threw some vegetables in there.
Yeah, Chicken McNuggets and carrots every day for breakfast and lunch for a month and see if you lose weight. Anybody wants to volunteer and try that, we will happily work with you.
To publish the results.
I am not doing that.
Nope.
But really, I think, moving on from the Captain Crunch to the Rice Krispies, Rice Krispies should have been our control cereal, because this is the one that had, like, the lowest sugar, and it tastes just like it did when we were kids.
Yeah.
We've had it before recently, because we made Rice Krispie treats, because that's really what Rice Krispies are good for.
Yep.
Very few people actually eat them for breakfast anymore. Most people just make treats out of them. So that one came in the sampler box. I abhor Fruit Loops. I used to eat them as a kid. Never really enjoyed them much then. Like, the flavors actually taste bright and artificial, so.
Yeah.
Sheila ate the Fruit Loops
when you
for
eat
us.
Them all together, it's not that bad.
If there was anything, because you made me try one last night, if there's anything that made me go, oh, too sweet, it was definitely these. So we can agree
Fruit
that
Loops are cool because you can pour orange juice on them instead of milk.
Well, you can do that with anything. Mountain Dew is great on Rice Krispies. So.
Snap, crackle, pop.
Whee! I was never a fan of Corn Pops, so what do you think? They taste like they did before, yeah. Or have your taste buds mutated?
Nope, they pretty much taste like they did before. They weren't too sweet.
These are pretty high in sugar, too. And they look like they wouldn't be, because it's just little crunchy puffs of corn.
Right.
Now, the villainaire... Bleh, bleh. Now, the villainous, villainy villain box, the one that people like to rag on the most, I think, Frosted Flakes. I had a bowl of those this morning.
Well, and the only reason I could see you brag on them is because they're just like Corn Flakes, only they've got sugar on them, when you could just buy Corn Flakes and put sugar on them. Mm-hmm. And usually Corn Flakes are... like $5 for a giant box that could feed 4 people for a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see.
And the Frosted
that.
Flakes are usually more expensive.
But these were freaking delicious this morning. I did not think I was going to like it, because I started out with a small bowl of the crunchy cranberry almond control box, and it was delicious and crunchy and almondy and cranberry-y and just perfect.
Granola-y.
Oh, it was so good. It was. And then I went to the Frosted Flakes. It was actually surprisingly delicious.
And not too sweet?
No, it was a little sweet, but it wasn't the cloying,
that you
oh
expected?
My god. Yeah, like, I'm trying to think of an example we've had recently. We had as kids, you were like, oh, that pink popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what is that stuff called?
Just pink popcorn.
Okay, yeah, you can get it
here.
It's
got an elephant on the box.
It's like candied popcorn, and we don't have it in the States.
Yeah, it's kind of like caramel corn, only it's just sugar instead of caramel that's coating it, and it's pink colored.
Yeah, and Sheila bought a box last year when we were at Wasega Beach. She was all excited, because she hadn't had it since she was a kid. She ate a couple handfuls, and she said, it's not as good. It's too sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So she finished it, but she wasn't as enamored with it as she thought she would be as she was when she was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought that's what most of the cereal was going to be, but we really liked
and then
it.
It wasn't.
Well, then after we ate, I looked at the box, the control group, the healthy cereal, with the nuts and the fruits and the... low in saturated fat, source of 9 essential nutrients. Oh my god, this must be good for me. Look at all the stuff in it. And I saw the 13 grams of sugar per serving, which, granted, the servings are a little bit denser than the, like, Frosted Flakes.
Right.
But when you look at the Cap'n Crunch, the serving size is a cup and it's 30 grams. When you look at the almondy cranberry goodness, the serving size is 3/4 of a cup and it's 55 grams. So it's just denser because of all the crunchy, chunky stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the almond cranberry stuff is, I'm not going to say worse for you, but in a way it is. Because it's denser in calories.
It's a more calorie dense.
Yeah, it's higher in sugar, or the same in sugar per serving. It just surprised me. I really
what about the nutrients? Does it have more nutrients on it?
Slightly. It's a little bit denser and it has a little more iron. Oh, look at the French side again.
Poor Tracy.
A little bit more iron, a little bit more thiamine, but I think that's just because of the nuts and the fruit that are in it.
Yeah.
That's all. It just, it surprises me. And I look at the ingredient list on it, and believe it or not, the ingredient list on the Cap'n Crunch looks like real food.
Oh, it has, like, less chemicals?
None. There's one. There's BHT for preservative.
Wow.
Cap'n Crunch has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 ingredients. The ingredient list for the healthy almond crunchy cranberry stuff is kind of scary. So we've got rice, whole wheat, sugar/glucose fructose, which was a mistake for me.
Yeah.
Cranberries, granola crust clusters, which has a whole little ingredient list of its own. Rice, flour, modified milk ingredients, corn syrup, honey, sugar, baking soda. Oh my god, all kinds of other crazy extracts in it. And BHTs also add maintain product freshness.
Yeah, it's just a preservative.
Yeah,
but that's funny. So if you just threw some bananas on Cap'n Crunch, it would probably be just as good for you as the healthy cereal.
Yeah.
Imagine. Interesting.
That. Yeah, I wouldn't have. We're both kind of shocked right now as we're talking on the podcast because we didn't really compare it before because we just assumed. Sugary kid cereal is going to obviously be worse for you and obviously going to be a nutritional write-off.
Hmm.
So I kind of have some mixed feelings about that.
So, well, there you go. Junk cereal isn't as junky as you thought it was.
No.
It's just more fun.
It's not. And it kind of is funny because it goes back to the roots of cereal, which is a health food.
Yeah. That was the thing is, to prepare for this podcast, we watched The Road to Wellville, which is a rated R movie. So if you are over the age of 18, feel free to enjoy. If you're under the age of 18, just wait until you're older because you'll enjoy the humor a little bit more.
Yes. But it's an awesome movie from the early to mid-90s. Like, what, came out in 92, 94?
Yeah, it was 94, I think.
It's got Matthew Broderick, John Cusack, Anthony Hopkins. It's hilarious. And it's mostly fictitious about, which Kellogg is it?
It's John Harvey Kellogg was the one that did the sanatorium.
Yeah.
The Battle Creek Sanatorium, or the San, which was this retreat for people to go and get healthy. And I think the main reason why they actually got healthy was the same reason why Alton Brown said so in his water episode. Is that because they actually got out of the horribly polluted city and drank fresh water instead of water that came out of the same place where they dumped their sewage?
Yes. And at the time all of this was going on, it would have been turn of the century in the United States, where you had...
It was like 1904, 1908.
Yes. It started right around the same time all the social movements started. Mm-hmm. And... You were looking at living conditions possibly being at their worst in the United States they've ever been, because we had a large urban population center between all the immigrants and everybody else coming into the country, so that was just booming. We did not have the infrastructure to deal with that. Around 1902, 1904, I want to say, you actually had a, was it malaria or cholera?
There was a cholera outbreak.
Cholera outbreak in Pittsburgh, of all places.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd think cholera, you don't think Pittsburgh, even at the turn of the century. But the sanitation conditions were so bad, they had major cholera outbreaks in Pittsburgh. So you ran into things like that. You had, for the first time in, I want to say, most of history, I'm sure there's somebody who can pick a fine point with me and debate it, and that's fine. But for Western civilization, you see the first time ever a middle class, a real honest-to-God middle class, with money and education and a lot of women who didn't know what to do with themselves. So when you see the sanatorium in the movie, they don't really show it, but you have seen a lot of women there.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know what to do with themselves. They had money, they had people to help raise their kids, they're just like, I don't know. That's where a lot of the social sciences came from, with women going into it because they were educated and didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So you'll see a lot of women taking interest in the health movements and the vegetarian movements and all that other craziness, making people healthy and well. So they illustrate that point really well, what's going on. But Kellogg said, I want to make everybody healthier. He was a doctor and everything.
Yeah.
And he had 75-some different recipes of stuff.
Yeah, he was actually the one that invented peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't George Washington Carver,
no.
He invented everything else you can do with a peanut.
Mm-hmm. But Kellogg, he invented cornflakes, and he did it as a health thing because he wanted to make sure people pooped. Because
yeah.
He was really concerned about pooping.
He was interested in digestive health, and he figured that that was the backbone to good health. And he was big into the vegetarianism movement, and big into making sure the mail kept moving.
Yes. Yes, you had to have your regular deliveries of the mail. So, he...
if he didn't, they'd go in and get it.
But he had no interest. And that's all we're going to say about that.
Yeah.
No, he had absolutely no interest at all in marketing this. He wanted to do a sanitarium, make people healthy, give something back to the world kind of thing. His brother, on the other hand, his younger brother, was a true capitalist. And he's like, I can make money off of this.
Well, he saw his brother doing tours of the SAN and showing everybody, including CW Post, how to make the cornflakes, what the flaking method was, how they mushed it up, they let it dry, then they smashed it thin and toasted it, I think. And basically people were all going out because just like... Now, if you have an original idea, there's like 1,000 clones for it the next day as soon as it hits the market.
Look at the iPods.
So
and The Road to Wellville doesn't get into the nitty-gritty historical details because it's a movie, and it's a fun movie, but it gives you a good overview. Some of this fills in the rest. Go read a good book about Kellogg. But the company actually comes from the crazy doctor guy's younger brother.
Mm.
So a truly American food, truly North American food. No, their culture really does the dry cereal thing like we do. They do now because they've imported it. But
right.
In China, there's other breakfast alternatives that are usually a wet kind of cereal or a gruel
a
or porridge,
cereal.
A hot cereal. Same thing in Europe. They were always into hot cereals.
As you said before, is a uniquely North American invention.
And when you get into modern time, it becomes almost a cultural icon because you have the image of the kids Saturday morning watching cartoons eating cereal.
Right.
Which was, every kid has memories of that, no matter who you are, no matter what economic class you come from, rich, poor, yeah, doesn't matter. Everybody did that.
If you were born after 1940, you have that.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, or in my house, you either ate cereal or you ate frozen waffles. Literally frozen waffles. My mom would make waffles and freeze them. And then my sister and I would get up, my sister would go in the freezer and grab a couple of frozen waffles, and we would eat them frozen. They were like breakfast popsicles. It sounds so gross, but with homemade waffles, don't knock it till you try it. I tried it with a regular, not homemade waffle, not nearly as good, because the texture is off.
Yeah.
But the homemade regular waffles, oh.
Were they Belgian waffles?
No, they were regular waffles, because they weren't doing Belgian waffles then, because it took too long to make, and we were impatient because we were children. But she always made double batches of waffles. Because my parents were teachers, we didn't eat breakfast together during the week. It just wasn't possible with everybody leaving the house by 7 o'clock in the morning to get to school, whether they were learning or teaching. So Saturday mornings was always the big family breakfast get-together, and Mom would pull out all the stops and do a big family breakfast. So it would be like bacon and eggs and hash browns and toast and stuff, or sausage and eggs and hash browns and toast, or crepes, when Dad would do crepes, we talked about that before, or waffles or something like that, or French toast. But the waffles, she'd always do extras because that was something she could pull out during the week and heat up for us. And we could eat that instead of cereal if we didn't want cereal in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then Michelle and I would just eat them frozen, like popsicles.
That's not
true. People think I'm so strange for that. And when I was a kid, I thought that was the most natural thing in the world. We're up at 6 in the morning to watch cartoons with our sleeping bags in the living room with frozen waffles out of Ziploc bags.
I've never heard anybody else do it. Sorry.
I know.
You are a freak.
I know.
So I love you.
Now, because we're Swat Fat Chicks, and we do talk about restaurants, believe it or not, there are now cereal restaurants out there.
I'm sure you've probably heard of it.
Yes.
If you watch the Food Network, there's little specials about cereal bars and stuff like that, so.
And there are two in Morgantown. The one you've probably seen on Food Network before, it's actually part of, these ones seem to, there's a couple of them out there, and they show up at Cold Stone Creameries.
Yeah.
It's called
Cereality.
Cereality. And it's the kind of place where you can go mix and match and make crazy cereal combos.
They have, like, house brands of, like, it'll have different combinations of cereals and toppings, and they have all different kinds of toppings, they have different milks, they have all that stuff.
And you might ask yourself, why would I waste money and go to a cereal bar? I can buy my own box for $4. Well, this kind of place, you can mix and match and make all kinds of neat combos and put the toppings on it, so that's an attraction. If you're a college student, it's an attraction just because you may not have any food in your dorm room or apartment because you're a college student, but you have money.
Or you might not have any milk.
Or might not have any milk, yes. Or it could also be that you live with a horrible cereal Nazi who won't let you buy junk cereal all the time, so you can go out and get your fix as a meal. Or it could just be you're out and you can't think of anything else you want, and that sounds like a really good alternative. So yeah, you can poo-poo it. If you eat there regularly, perhaps you should just go buy a box of cereal someplace.
But if it's a once-in-a-while treat, there's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. So I can see
where it has a market.
For some
people, it's a comfort food.
Yeah. It definitely has a market between comfort food and convenience and getting around your cereal Nazi of a wife.
Who's lactose intolerant.
Yes, so there's never any milk around anyway unless you want soy milk on your cereal. But if you want real milk on your cereal, sometimes you have to go to a cereal bar. There's a second one in Morgantown. The first one, Cereality, is down the street on High Street at Cold Stone Creamery.
Yeah.
The second one is called Sozo, and it's just a cereal bar. It's got all kinds of cereals. You go in, you have different size of bowls you can get, and it's priced by the bowl. Now, the Cereality one is a total capitalistic, we're a business thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sozo is, it
may
not...
for the words.
Now, keep in mind, we don't want to talk about politics. Everybody has their own personal politics for their own personal reason. They're very special to you, very dear to you. We all hold those close. That's good. And that's fine. Though some people out who listen to us may want to choose where their money goes based on what they support. Like, for instance, Sheila and I have... We're still very upset with KFC for the sleazy capitalistic move they made in pink washing for their chicken buckets.
Mm.
And we have chosen, we're not going to give money to KFC anymore. Granted, we know they're connected to other companies, and money's going there one way or the other. But at least we don't have to do it directly.
Right.
Because, you know, they couldn't spring for $1 a bucket. Sorry, you
don't
need
my money.
When
I lay my head down at night, I feel better because of that, even though it's a small decision that may not matter to anybody else.
Yeah. But that's a personal decision.
A personal
we don't
decision.
Expect anybody else to do it, but nonetheless, you know, that's something that we considered important to us. And some people take it another step further, and they get very concerned about all the places that they go to, so they won't go to certain pizzerias because they send money to other organizations they don't agree with, or they won't go to certain grocery stores, that sort of thing. So if that's important to you, and some of our listeners, it is important, then so you should know Sozo in downtown Morgantown, and they make no
no bones about it.
Yeah, they don't try to hide it. It's right there on the website. They are backed by a non-denominational church in Morgantown, Chestnut Ridge Church, out by Cheat Lake. Mm-hmm. And they make it apparent that their place is, that is their, quote-unquote, is there to be a place of discussion for theology and religion. And it, I don't want to say it's a recruiting area, but it could be considered as such.
Yeah.
You went in once. You went in for the cereal.
Right.
I don't know if you hung out or stayed or talked to anybody. I went down once with you.
I ate my cereal and I left. I didn't notice.
Yeah.
But I did notice that they would close sometimes and there would be people talking on the stage, but I never really stuck around to find out.
Yeah. Again, if that's important to you, be aware of that. They are not a church like...
They're not Unitarians.
Yes.
So some of their interpretations of the Bible are that people like Tracy and I shouldn't be together, and people like Tracy and I should just toe the line and get husbands and make children, and that's it.
Yes.
So if you disagree with that, then feel free to not go to Sozo.
If you don't care, and you just want cereal.
Feel free to go there.
I mean, quite honestly, Sheila probably, if we lived in Morgantown, would still be like, I don't care, I'll go buy their cereal, because you won't let me buy junk cereal.
I'd go there and
be
myself, and if they threw me out, they threw me out.
Which they wouldn't, because they're not quite like that.
They still want to make money.
Yeah. Because, again, it's backed by the church. And anyway, so that's something we just discovered the other day, and we thought, wow, I think considering some of our listener base is made up of homosexuals, since we're gay, too, perhaps we should put that out there so people don't think that we had the wool pulled over our eyes either. You know,
right.
Kind of a full disclosure thing.
Well, to be honest, I didn't know when I went in there that's what it was. But when you went to your website, it was right there.
Yeah. And again, just as a method of self-preservation, I don't necessarily know if I would fund a restaurant that I knew was sending money to organizations that are backing opposition to gay marriage.
Yeah, they're specifically going against my rights as a
citizen. That are important to us. Mm. So again, we don't want to get political about it, but just be aware that's out there. But otherwise, the concept is very cool. Much like Cereality, it's just a nice little place you can go and hang out between classes. You can buy a bowl of cereal. They have good coffee.
Yeah.
I had the coffee there. I have to admit, they did a good job on that. And it is a comfortable little restaurant. It's on the top of High Street, very close to Casa D'Amici.
Yeah.
So, again, if that doesn't bother you, by all means, check it out. They do have a swank little place. I will give them that.
Mm.
You don't have to talk to anybody there.
No.
So. Or you can talk to them and try to convert them to whatever you do. Pastafarians unite. Go nuts. I don't know.
Touched by his newly appendage.
Yes. Anyway, that's our cereal episode. We hope it was entertaining. I'm shocked that I wasn't repulsed by the sugary cereal, and I'm shocked that our control healthy cereal was not nearly as good as I thought it was, and I should have paid better attention at the grocery store. So, the Rice Krispies are the new control cereal.
Right.
So, anything else you wanted to add on it?
Oh, part of a complete breakfast.
Yes, we looked that up.
Because you always see that on the commercials. This cereal is part of a complete breakfast. And they show bacon and eggs and toast and all kinds of other crap in the background. And you're thinking to yourself, shouldn't the bowl of cereal just be the meal by itself? Because that's how most people eat it. If I ate all that other stuff with it would be a total calorie bomb.
Mm-hmm. I've only ever done that at buffets. Just so I could say I had a complete breakfast, like in the commercial.
Right. So you did some checking out on that,
quick
and on Yahoo Answers,
online. Yeah.
You found some information.
Well, what it refers to is the percentage of, you're supposed to have carbohydrates and fats and fiber and all this stuff in your breakfast. And the cereal doesn't usually have much fat in it, so that's why you bring in some of the other stuff, like the milk or the bacon or what have you, or a boiled egg to add to it. And it was supposed to be 60% carbohydrates with an emphasis on fiber and 20% fats and 20% proteins.
That sounds about right.
Something like that, but when we say fats, we don't mean you're drinking a little ladle of bacon lard. We mean the healthy, unsaturated stuff,
right.
Too.
Like, it could be toast with peanut butter on it, or a boiled egg,
mm-hmm.
or bacon, or
so that's
whatever,
what they're implying.
Sausages.
Because if you just eat a great big bowl of cereal, you're going to be lacking probably in the protein area, for sure.
But most North Americans actually make up for that the rest of the day.
Yes.
So I don't think it's a big deal.
Well, it can be a big deal depending on what your lifestyle is like. Because breakfast, we overlook it and we always make it the smallest, wussiest meal of the day. In reality, breakfast should be your big, giant, hearty, I'm going to eat a steak and four eggs and all this other stuff. Because that kind of powers you for the rest of the day.
Get you going.
Yes. I mean, even we kind of do it backwards because we do smoothies in the morning usually. And then we have a bigger lunch. But that's better than having a giant dinner and almost no breakfast and lunch.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, you've hit the end of the day, you're already exhausted, and you just cram yourself full of food and then lay there because you don't really need all the energy. which you'll burn it anyway. Your body needs the calories, but nonetheless.
Right.
So that's what they mean by a complete breakfast, which you don't have to have the incredible spread they put out on the commercial either.
That's just there by the food stylist to make it look appetizing.
Yeah, you know, have a hard-boiled egg with it, and you're probably good to go. Have a little bit of orange juice or cut up a banana on top, and you're cool. Yeah. So, this is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we're Spy Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed the Spy Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Please email your comments, questions, or suggestions to spyfatchicks@gmail.com. That's ZWEIFATCHICKS@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends, but please make sure that credit is given. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.